I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What a weekend that was. Two-thirds of the way through the season, people. And one thing's for sure, we won't get cold feet on you, dear listeners. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday the 8th of February. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I am disappointed, guys, that neither of you has gone for your full ferryman outfit. Jim, were you tempted?
I'm actually a little bit frightened because a lot of you listening will hear us refer to David Moyes as the ferryman and might not quite know why. I feel like you've missed a joke. So I'll just do a little recap on that. I think this was when he took over at West Ham the first time. We made the point that he'd sort of become like the ferryman that ferries souls from the land of the living, i.e. the Premier League, to the land of the dead, i.e. the Championship. It was quite disrespectful to everyone involved, really, especially the Championship. Obviously, he's turned it around since, but the ferryman thing has sort of stuck. Jonathan Wilson uses the term. It's sort of out there now. He's the ferryman. And he's now dressed like Sharon, the ferryman that takes souls from the across the River Styx into hell. And I can't help but feel like it's a personal threat. Like he's like West Ham are flying high and he's now dressed like that. As a reminder to me, that's who he is and that he could come for me at any time.
I would not be giving him a coin.
So it's a cape, is it, effectively? He's got hood. That was the main thing I saw in that post-match after the Fulham game.
It's a Grim Reaper's outfit,
isn't
it?
It's a Grim Reaper's
outfit.
Let's
be honest.
Do we know that is what the man who travels across the Styx wears, or is that just how you imagine it in your febrile imagination?
In some depictions, he looks like that, yeah.
Pete, you are yourself wearing a hood, I think.
I am. I could probably do a little bit of a scant impression of Moyes. But I wouldn't give David Moyes, the ferryman, a coin to pass to the other side because he will spend it on a striker.
And that striker will not be very good.
Exactly. So he's better off without the coins, quite frankly. Wears them down.
Yeah. Maybe it was a threat to Mike Dean.
Maybe.
That he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, not so overt as that, but just a little, you know, psychological thing to get in his head, getting his weird head after that decision.
I like it a lot. I also like that we're talking about the outfit of football managers in such depth. It's a sort of, it's a neat little sidestep from what normally, you know, normally it's women, isn't it, who get their outfits all deconstructed. But now David Moyes has taken this to a whole new level. And I guess, Ramblers, we're not going to start today's show by talking about that 0-0 draw. Don't you worry about it. We're going to talk about Manchester City's demolition job at the home of the champions. 3 Manchester City goals in 10 minutes. That's right. Gundogan, Sterling, a beaut from Foden as Liverpool basically just crumbled in a manner more befitting Luke's favourite team, I guess. Gundogan had a hat trick nearly, despite skying that penalty in a slightly ridiculous manner in the first half. And then Alisson himself nearly had a hat trick of Liverpool goals after taking playing out from the back to a new metaphysical level. Jim, do you feel as though this is just ticky-tacka writ large? It's gone massive. He's passing to the opposition.
Yeah, he's trying to, you know, he's trying to really, really think outside the box quite dangerously. I feel like, I actually think you can argue that Alisson was at fault for all of those goals. Because the first one, the parry could have been a lot stronger. The fourth one, he's like, obviously his confidence is shot to bits at that point, and he's obviously Foden's hit that amazingly, but it is fairly kind of at him. It's a surprisingly bad performance from Alisson. I guess you're going to get them from even the best goalkeepers in the world. Even the best players in the world have off days, and it's you know, more noticeable when it's a goalkeeper. But City again, they just look so robotic when they need to, don't they? And they've really, really hit their groove, and it's a silky robot at the moment. They were so good in that second half in particular. I also like that Gundogan like pretty much roofed both of his goals, as if to go, see, that's what I was trying to do with the pen. I'm going to do it to you anyway. So stop laughing at me. I'm having a cracking season.
What did you make of this one, Pete? 14 games in a row now for City. Are we done? Is this the title done?
Well, I kind of felt sorry for how certainly the press dealt with Liverpool, because I think Liverpool are a very, very good football team. They're just going through a rotten bit of luck at the moment. Like, nobody could have foreseen that it's such an amazing, talented footballer going through what he went through. And you know, they're playing Hendo at centre-back and they're not taking their chances. Gini Wijnaldum just seems to be very slow to get the ball out of his feet sometimes. Thiago looked quite ordinary yesterday as well, losing balls, getting needless yellows. But Manchester City, I thought, for the first half, looked pretty ordinary at times, but they really kicked up a gear. Would that result have been much better with actual centre-backs playing at centre-back, Kabaka Davies, maybe? I don't know. I would hazard a guess that it probably wouldn't have been, because Manchester City were just incredible. They're finishing quite apart from the roof penalty from... over the roof penalty.
Yeah, the roof wasn't involved. Apart from the roof at Anfield, Buxton, I guess. But,
It was a little bit much, but I just felt sorry for Liverpool, because everything that could have gone wrong really went wrong, and it all kind of came down to the goalkeeper.
Did Liverpool need your pity, Pete? I don't know.
I'm sure they'll be happy with all of their money and success.
Yeah,
people generally are.
I think one of the things with Liverpool as well, we've spoken so much about how they are effectively playing two of their best midfielders in defence, but you know what doesn't get spoken about as much is how they then missing two of their best midfielders in midfield. Just changes the dynamic and the flow of the team so much.
It's a six-pointer.
It is, isn't it? Effectively, it was a hell of a half. I'm not going to say game, because the first half was a bit rubbish, wasn't it? But I think we needed that, because I think there's so much fatigue going around the Premier League. We had that period where like every game was amazing, and when Spurs smashed United at Old Trafford and Villa beat City, Liverpool rather, the same day. There's been a lot of plodding, tired performances lately, but this was fantastic. Like, I'd like to go to the Diaz penalty though, because I find it really strange when defenders, especially in the box, touch players at all. Like, right. I don't know why he's grabbed Salah's arm there. I mean, a lot of people are saying Salah went down easily. I think that's probably reasonable, but just don't give him the option. Like, I don't, it's like it was chasing him down the road, going, mate, you dropped your wallet. Mate.
And with a player like Salah, he wins a lot of free kicks. He wins a lot of penalties. That's kind of half of his game in 2020, to be honest. So, yeah, and I felt really sorry for them. Silly.
Yeah, Pete's got this overflow of emotion. I think
I'm a bit tired. I've not had that much sleep, so I'm just a bit emotional. I'm like, I've got a Monday hangover, but it's not through booze. It's through just lack of sleep.
Oh, I thought it was just the joy of the game that we're going to come on to in the second half. But hey, spoiler alert on that. So Liverpool, they went 68 games undefeated at Anfield, and they're now on three consecutive home defeats for the first time since 1963. Now, clearly this season and bits of last season, home and away doesn't mean the same as it would, Pete, if you were, you know, meeting a whole load of angry Liverpool fans as you skied your penalty towards the Kop. But that is quite a surprising state of affairs, and also to collapse in that manner with ten goals in 3 minutes, with three goals in 10 minutes.
Imagine that. Yeah, I think it all had to do with Foden being put out on the right. He was just they couldn't handle his movement. His goal, it was like a Rabona. Like, he's kind of like flipped one foot and then just smashed it in before the keeper, the defenders could even shape their body to block it. So I think Pep Guardiola reacted in the right way to how the match was going, and although they did miss a penalty early on, they were well worth a win in the end. But it was very much Pep Guardiola getting his tactics right as a reaction to what was happening on the field. And to be honest, Jurgen Klopp having limited options, I think, in many ways.
Yeah, I think there's probably a reasonable explanation for why Man City are starting to pull away, which is that if you look at these circumstances, everything that's going on around the globe and the strangeness of playing without fans, most managers are going to look at that and go, "Oh God, this is what a weird set of circumstances." But Pep Guardiola is going to be like, new variables, unforeseen variables. Oh my God, hook those variables to my veins. I love variables. It's a problem for me to solve. And he's loving it. Can we talk about Jamie Carragher turning into a goat?
Tell me more about this, because I was doing the updates on Sky, so you don't actually get the commentary during the game. Please.
So, effectively, it was for Alisson's first mistake, wasn't it? And it led to Gundogan's goal. He had a little run of effectively mistakes. I'm sure you've seen the goal, but on the first one, they ended up getting away with it before Alisson later kicked it out to a City player afterwards. But as that happened, Carragher just sort of went in the background, like slightly off camera, off mic, sorry. But it sounded like, when you watch those compilations of goats that sound like humans, because goats scream in the same way that humans do, and it's the funniest thing in the world. But Carragher, I guess Carragher is the person that these goats sound like. It was so strange.
Yeah.
It was comparable to when Gary Neville made that noise when Fernando Torres scored that goal against Barcelona for Chelsea.
They're both quite similar in that, don't they? They don't mind sort of just expressing themselves through the medium of weird grunting.
Yeah. Martin Tyler does it a bit as well. By the end of it, it's going to devolve into just them grunting. I'd enjoy it, I think. Obviously, everyone on Twitter would still go mental at all of them, but whatever.
I feel as though having a full and varied vocal range is a strong part of being a commentator, I think. I mean, are you saying you enjoyed the goat, or you feel like it could be finessed?
I absolutely love it. Kate, would you consider doing that on Sky Sports News? Up next, ooh, we chat to Jurgen Klopp. I mean, your colleagues are doing it. They're setting the example.
Yeah, it's true. It was Clinton Morrison on the updates as well. So, sorry, to be clear, I was watching the game, but there's just no commentary. And then you go to an update for anyone who just wants to watch all the stuff, all the build-up to the Super Bowl and various other things, rather than just watch the game itself. But anyway, yeah, Clinton Morrison did make a similar noise as he watched Alisson just pass into the feet of a player who wasn't on his team. Twice.
The thing about Alisson is he's very handsome, but he's got one of those noses that by the time he hits 50, it's going to be like a big, big nose. It's going to be like an old man's nose. And your nose and your ears, I think, I don't know whether women's noses and ears grow, but certainly men's grow throughout their lives, don't they? So Alisson's just going to be a big beard with a big nose, and he's going to look like a cartoon of a Viking or a cartoon of a miner or something from a video game in the 90s.
That's news to me.
He is handsome, though, isn't he?
He's very handsome.
I thought your ears were like this. This cannot be true. Now I've started to say it out loud, but I thought your ears were pretty much the same size. Oh God, I've embarrassed myself. They can't be the same size when you're a baby as they are for the rest of your life, can they?
I would very much like to say that.
No.
Jurgen Klopp said afterwards, "Top four is the main target. Is that good enough? Top four? What a disgrace." I'm saying it's not good enough, I think.
No, Roy Keane was saying similar as well, wasn't he?
Wasn't he just?
Saying that they're bad champions and that they're, they're they were, I don't know, whatever he was saying, their parents raised them terribly and like, they should all be ashamed of themselves. Like, I love it. Love it when he sticks the boot in.
Have Liverpool got the option of European football anymore? Because haven't they been banned from travelling anywhere? They can't go and play their football matches. So, look, this could be the only chance of silverware. They might get kicked out for being naughty COVID pariahs.
As a point of order, Pete, as I'm sure everyone knows, this is not specific to Liverpool. This does seem to be an England-wide concern.
Yeah. Also, I mean, Jamie Carragher was saying he's worried they wouldn't make the top four. You know, there's been talk that they are prioritising that, and you know, there's a lot of kind of doom and gloom about it. I mean, they are in fourth now.
They'll probably
qualify for the Champions League. Let's calm down.
Yeah, if it were to be rendered, well, not null and void, but if it were to be stopped now, they would be in the Champions League. That's absolutely right. But they are 10 points off the top of the table, where Manchester City perch with their game in hand. Ah, let's get to a bunch of bottlers. Manchester United 3, Everton 3 at Old Trafford. We got to experience a 95th minute Dominic Calvert-Lewin equaliser for Everton at Manchester United. What a lovely little goal at pace, coaxed in, point blank range. But we also, I mean, that was by far not... Good English, Kate. That was by far not the most beautiful goal of the game, right? There was also Bruno Fernandes's ludicrously... beautiful goal. Was that your favourite? I also love the James Rodriguez one. This had thrills and spills.
What was the best one? I think the Fernandes one, am I being a bit harsh on the goalkeeper, thinking he perhaps should have been on his line a bit more?
You are being harsh on the goalkeeper.
I am.
The problem was the defender who, you know, to paraphrase Big Sam talking to someone post-match, did you hear his post-match after West Brom lost to Spurs? He said to whoever it was who was interviewing him on TalkSport, I think, oh, so what do you do if Harry Kane gets the ball? And the interviewer had to be like, you close him down. And Big Sam was like, even you know. So to paraphrase that, what happens if you do not give Bruno Fernandes the amount of time that he was given? You could just watch that whole thing playing out in slow motion, couldn't you?
A lot of people.
He's so good at finding space, though, isn't he, Fernandes?
Mm.
So it's very difficult to stop him getting that time and space. When you look back at individual highlights, you think, oh yeah, someone should have done this, someone should have done that, but he seems to just pop up everywhere.
I think a lot of was it even the Manchester United Twitter page account thingamajig, didn't they compare that goal to Eric Cantona's against Sunderland, where he sort of chipped it over the keeper?
I don't think it was quite that good.
No. Exactly. Mind you, the quality of opposition probably better than Sunderland in the 90s, but still.
Let's just enjoy both those goals on their own merits, shall we, guys?
Yeah.
We don't need to rank them.
This weekend really delivered when there's been a lot of, frankly, dull games lately, especially between some of the top sides.
Terrible goalkeeping.
And this was a great one of them. Terrible goalkeeping, yeah. Exactly, more terrible goalkeeping, please.
People look at, like, the green shoots in their garden, maybe, you know, carrots starting to sort of grow. but I just see De Gea just having a terrible time as the mark that says spring is about to arrive. So I'm really positive about things. I'm glad De Gea's starting to just mess things up.
I'm also very impressed by Calvert-Lewin because he scored in the last two games, I think, and he'd had a bit of a drought. And I think if you are going to be a top striker, you need to come out of a drought with a run of goal scoring performances, and that's what he's doing. And he really looks like the real deal, and someone who is going to play for, you know, whether that be Everton or someone that he moves on to later, that will have a career for a top team, and hopefully will be a regular kind of effective player for England, because I just think he's brilliant. He looks a bit like Theo Walcott's cool older brother, despite being a lot younger than him. I don't really understand how, but he does, and he's great.
Well, yeah, I guess that team are quite threatening in the air, certainly at the death in football matches. And I think everyone saw that equaliser coming from ahead, but it didn't. It just dropped to him. But I think the difference with Everton in the first half compared to the second is that Everton were just trying to be a team that tried to play out from the back. And then when they realised they're not very good at that sort of thing, they try and move the ball a little bit forward quickly. They managed to start putting goals away. But yeah, they look really confused, and they invited pressure on themselves from Manchester United in the first half. And yeah, it was a really good performance in the end, I think, to come back from that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not forget they already came back from 2-0 down. With a couple of goals in the start of the second half, the James Rodriguez one we've already mentioned, and also the Abdoulaye Doucouré, De Gea cock-up. And then it looked as though Scott McTominay had won it, with also actually a pretty great goal.
What a season he's having.
Yeah, he's got that in his game as well. That is, I mean, unbeaten now in 7 away games, Everton. I know we've already said this very show that hey, home and away is a slightly different concept this season. But even still, Jim, that's a good streak wherever you're playing your matches, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You've still got to be winning the games, haven't you? Yeah, it's impressive stuff from Everton. I hope Carlo Ancelotti's all right, having had a hug from Duncan Ferguson. I mean, my ribs have kind of feel bruised in sympathy just even having seen that happen.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm glad he didn't manage to get hold of Dominic Calvert-Lewin, because, I mean, they need him in the next few games, right?
Like, if anything's going to put you off winning the league, it's like, oh, God, how bad will that get? Like, if we can go back to Jamie Carragher, as well, sadly without having to make a goat noise. I think he just sounded like a human for this. He said that he was saying that he feels like Man United have bottled the title race, and that they're just sort of happy to be involved. And obviously that's a little bit of a Liverpool focused dig, you would think, but do you think that's fair? Because this is a sort of, there were times where they looked a little bit, I mean, you know, effectively losing the points at the death like that isn't what you should be doing if you come for the title.
Yeah, exactly right, Jim. I mean, and there's also been referenced another famous 4-4 Everton draw that potentially cost United in 2012. So maybe that's what he was thinking of. I mean, it's hard to see much past Manchester City after watching that game at the weekend. They're, of course, five points clear with a game in hand.
There's a lot of bottling going
like
on, though,
machine,
isn't there?
Yeah.
Whereas United decisively don't look like a machine, do they?
No. Well, this is it, isn't it? Like, if City start to run away with it, you need someone to not give up. But I don't know who that is.
Leicester, Brendy's boys.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Marcus isn't here, so I have to help you out with saying it. It sounds as though you guys both think that that they're not the team to do that, to push them all the way.
What, Man United? I'm intrigued by it because, I mean, obviously, there's a lot been said about Solskjaer's reign on this podcast and everywhere about how, you know, he doesn't seem like the guy to take them forward. But they've stuck with him, and the results are coming through. They are a lot better than they've been in a long time. And, you know, maybe it's premature to write them off. But I'm actually, it's really nice to see a team stick with a manager and it start to bear fruit. So I don't know. I wonder if maybe this season's a bit too much of a stretch because the circumstances are too weird and City are clearly on one. But, you know, maybe next season they would actually challenge a bit more. I don't know.
Just get Harry Maguire to not play.
Ollie's at the wheel and I'm here for it.
Just get Harry Maguire to not play the entire side, like Everton on side, like in the last minute of the match. I mean, that's just simple kind of dead ball management.
Yeah.
Wise words from you both, guys. Let's get to a break where presumably Manchester United will find the opportunity to sack their manager. See you in a sec.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Stakhanov's award-winning football mockumentary, The Offensive, is available to listen to now. After securing Premier League survival last season, Ashwood City have a new boss.
The new manager, Sven Goran Eriksson.
I am delighted to be the new head coach at Ashwood City Football Club.
But unfortunately, the same old chief executive.
Oh, fuckity fuck. Stupid comments from an ex-player chanting make Ashwood great again. Big fucking deal. You know, if he thinks that any of those empty words have had even the slightest impact on Patrick Nolan, MBE, then he is dreaming. Stupid, big idiot, twat, fucking wank.
Follow Ashwood City on and off the pitch every Premier League match week.
I can't even get easy peelers in my local M&S at the moment, Sven, let alone a fullback from Real Sociedad.
I just have a list of players I'd like to bring into your squad.
Okay, well, let me know when you have a list of players you'd like to bring out of the squad.
Described by The Guardian as a must-listen for football fans.
We lied about the corona test result. We isolated our two informed players to stop them playing for England. And now we've asked Man City Football Club to bribe the Premier League on our behalf.
I didn't actually ask them to. I asked if they wanted to.
It's the same fucking thing.
Search The Offensive on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
Game 3 is Wolves v Leicester. We've chosen Peter to pick the goal scorer for that. Here's what he had to say.
The old Wolves versus the Foxes. I don't think there's going to be any goals in this match, so I'm going for a 0-0 nada draw.
Oh, what an amazing surprise. The most pessimistic man I've ever met in my entire life. If I've met probably... How many people do you reckon you meet in your life? I've met 5,000 people in my life. I cannot think of one more pessimistic than Pete. I cannot think of one. And I'm talking about like elderly relatives on their deathbed and stuff. Right? He is still more pessimistic than them. So he's gone for no goal scorer, of course.
Yes, welcome back to the Football Ramble. Pete Donaldson, always a man to take victory with characteristic elegance and insouciance there. Pete.
And a copy of an editing package.
Yes, we need to provide you your Betway 4 to score update. Entry to Betway's 4 to score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for a chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. And the first game was Fulham against West Ham on Saturday, late afternoon, let's call that. Marcus picked Ademola Lookman. Alas, the result was no goal scorer, so we were out. But that was not the end of our Betway 4 to score journey. Because in game two, it was Manchester United up against Everton, as we've just been discussing. Saturday, 8 o'clock kickoff. Andy Brassel picked Edinson Cavani, and the result was Edinson Cavani. And then in came game three, Wolves against Leicester, Sunday 2 o'clock kickoff. Pete picked no goal scorer. Pete and his pessimism picked correctly. There was indeed no goal scorer. Game four, Liverpool up against Manchester City. Luke picked Phil Foden, and Phil Foden did of course score, but the result was Ilkay Gundogan. So a classic appearance from the four of you guys. 2 out of 4, equaling our best ever tally. It sort of starts to feel as though we've got that little mental block on pushing on to get the third, but a fantastic appearance from you, Pete. I'm sure we all want to pay homage to your brilliant success.
It's a glass half full of champagne. So there you go.
We'll be back with another round of Betway's 4 to Score on the preview show this Friday. Now, let's get a load of these. Just seen a show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Mr. Kane, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
We got an email from Duncan Hall, who wanted to follow up on the Hamilton jobby. An astonishing bit of audio, has to be said. Freelance commentator, just doing his thing, and doing his thing badly, it seems. As an Accies fan, I paid £15 to watch my team lose that relegation 6-pointer, says Duncan. And Bobby discussing his shits didn't even break the top two of worst things he did during the game. Second worst, he turned up 15 minutes late to the game because he went to the wrong stadium. Apparently, he thought we were playing at Ibrox that evening, never mind that Rangers were playing St Johnston later that same day. But taking the top spot has got to be that he constantly called our new deadline day signing striker Bruce Anderson by the name of one of our academy graduates, Andrew Winter. He did this non-stop throughout the game, even when the commentator was doing his best to correct him in the nicest way possible, and even after Bruce had broken in behind and forced an own goal off the Ross County jobber in defence. He even went on to announce that midway through the second half, Bruce Anderson would be replacing Andrew Winter, even without his jobby chat. He should never be allowed near another game of football without first googling what the fuck lineups are. Not a numbers man. He's not following the numbers, it seems.
No. He's not a numbers man or a words man.
No. I enjoyed it.
That is difficult. I feel bad for this guy. So he thought that we finally realised that Bruce Anderson was not Andrew Winter. So he just thought he'd sneak him in as a fake substitution to fox the listeners.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right if you can do that thing on radio, but people are watching this.
Yeah, just describe something else. It'll be fine.
Yeah. You're not on a phone line from the former USSR in the 90s.
Watching the Queen's Gambit. Yeah, I also think he was slightly behind, wasn't he? Because Accies did then play... They drew with Rangers last night, but that wasn't at Ibrox. So it's almost like he's sort of done his research and then he's had to go for a big shit, so he ran out of time. Who knows? We've got one here also from Jeff Sleesman. It's been a couple of weeks since the chatter about the pool at the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium, but with the Super Bowl this weekend, last night, in fact, congrats Tampa Bay, it dawned on me to reach out with other aquatic amenities at American sports facilities. Baseball's Tampa Bay Rays have at their stadium the Rays Touch Tank. Rather than spectators, the 10,000-gallon Touch Tank holds 3 different species of ray. The tank is just over the outfield fence, and every time a Rays player hits the ball into the water, the club donates to charity. Although, he adds, this has only happened 7 times in the last 14 years. That seems like quite a lot of times.
It does seem a lot, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, that's weird. That's really, really weird.
Because I
think we need more of this in you know, UK sport.
Because a touch tank
full of Rays.
Is a thing where you can touch the animals, isn't it? Or you can touch the fish.
I mean, that seems quite dangerous. Because that animal killed Steve Irwin, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they come in a variety of different sizes, though, don't they? So you probably haven't got, like, a really dangerous, angry ray in there. Go and stroke that dangerous, you know, apex predator. Can I just say that aquatic amenities at American sports facilities might be one of the most pleasing sentences we've ever had buried in some correspondence on this podcast?
Well done.
Yeah. Bring us your aquatic amenities. We've really enjoyed Jeff's one. Thanks for writing in, Jeff. The email, in case you haven't emailed before, is show@footballramble.com. Now, we need to get to another bloody game, because Newcastle held on to win with 9 men after first Jeff Hendrick went off in the 50th minute for his needless second yellow, and then Fabian Schär couldn't continue. He's injured after Steve Bruce had made all 3 available substitutions. January loan signing Joe Willock made his debut. He scored in the 16th minute for Newcastle. Alan Saint-Maximin starting for the first time since late November. Miggy Almiron doing bits. Carl Darlow making great saves with his feet. It's going to be an absolute delight, I thought to myself as I watched this, to experience what a cock-a-hoot Pete Donaldson sounds like. Newcastle fans don't ask much, do they? And this was a brilliant effort. You must be on cloud nine, PTD. Tell us.
Well, I can certainly see cloud nine from the cloud that I'm on, which is an improvement to many people who listen to the ramble. I think the highlight of the match for me was Paul Merson calling Saint-Maximin Sam Maximus, which I quite like. Very enjoyable.
I mean, for Paul Merson, that's like pretty good.
It was good. Joe Willock's goal, I thought, was really nice. Him arriving late into the box is not something we've seen very often from Newcastle United. It's the sort of run that a 26-year-old Jonjo Shelvey would be doing if he wasn't 29. He's only 20. Yeah. I can't remember how old he is, but he's a terrible footballer at the moment. He's just that kind of like wonderful. I watch him play football.
Petey, say what? The nice things about Newcastle. Come on. Say some nice things.
I think they're done. Kate, I think that was it.
That was it. That's all you get, I'm afraid. Miggy is now cutting in from the right. We're now playing Graham Jones's celebrated Luton Town diamond, which was terrible for them. Probably even worse for Tim Sherwood's Villa. But it's back, baby. You thought we left it in 2015, but the diamond is back. Graham Jones and his new coaching capabilities adding a lot to the Newcastle lineup. So, yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a shit show from start to finish for both teams. It would have been completely correct about but yeah, it was an enjoyable little performance in the end. All hands to the pump at the end. Lovely.
We should probably mention the team who were defeated in this, I realise. So yeah, it was Newcastle 3, Southampton 2. Southampton looking like the end of days.
They looked worse than they did the week before. Venerek coming. Yeah. Venerek getting his red card rescinded.
Oh, God. Venerek, because he looks... I don't know about you guys. Do you agree? I've always thought he looks a bit like the tall one off the Inbetweeners. Is it Neil?
Yeah, so Neil.
Just a slight little bit of that. A style of him. So he's a little... I've always thought he looks a little bit hapless. And then has a
he's
man...
He's playing how you would imagine Neil to play at the moment.
Has a man ever had a worse week in the Premier League than this? He has his own goal. He's sent off in the 9-0. He gets it rescinded. He thinks, finally, my luck has changed.
Better off staying sent off. Yeah. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And you would think as well that having Southampton being in the unique position of having to pick themselves up and pull themselves together after a 9-0 defeat, that they'd have a bit of experience of that. Nope. No. Not at all.
Yeah.
Just absolutely collapsing all over again. I mean, I suppose it could have been worse. But
go on.
Especially, you know, being at down to 9 at the end. But oh, no, they weren't down to 9. Well, I'm giving them too much credit. It was Newcastle down to 9. What's going on in my brain?
I can't fathom
how this has happened.
Sorry, the point about Southampton is that they can't cope with playing either against or with 9 men. You would have thought.
Yeah.
You would have thought
the number 9 just freaks them out.
Yeah.
Just they can't deal with it. It's going to be like that terrible Jim Carrey movie about whatever number it was. Every now and then a movie comes along and it's about a specific number, isn't it? And some weirdo's going, it's all connected. It all leads to the number 9. And that's what's happening to Southampton right now.
Lovely bit of skill, I suppose, we can talk about from Southampton was James Ward-Prowse's fourth direct free kick of the season. Only bettered by David Beckham in 2000-2001 and Laurent Robert in 2001-2002. Yeah. I don't know what was happening at the turn of the millennium, but there we go.
Impressive and ultimately irrelevant stuff. I think get rid of indirect free kicks.
Okay.
I
just think it's stupid. I think just every free kick... Why can't you shoot from some free kicks? I just think it's a stupid rule.
But what if the free kick's in the box? That's unhelpful, isn't it? Do you remember the one? You know the ones that are in the box where they've got to lay them off? That's unhelpful.
Yeah.
It's pointless.
If you've given away a free kick, the kick should be free, effectively.
These limited free kicks, they shouldn't be...
Free kicks! Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Let them be free. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, they're so good to watch, aren't they? When Ward-Prowse scores those, you just think, oh, I'm glad, yeah. I'm glad I witnessed that. And then it was obviously just after that that Jeff Hendrick went off for reasons best known to himself. Again, it was another one of those ones, Jim, like you were mentioning earlier. Like, why is he doing that? Well, has he dropped his wallet?
Yeah. So exactly, it's a strange one. It's like he just had it in for Minamino. Maybe he had dropped something and he was just trying to give it back to him all game.
It's
just really, really strange.
Good to see Minamino scoring as well, because it was because he's not had a great run in the Liverpool side, and the way that Liverpool were playing at the weekend, you probably thought, wow, maybe he should have stayed there, but because they lacked a lot of creativity, it was it's good to see him doing his thing.
Yeah, the only negative for Steve Bruce, Pete. The only negative. Fabian Schär looks as though he's out for the rest of the season. He's torn some ligaments. Yeah. So get well soon, Fabian. He hopes to be around for the Euros, but bloody hell. Torn ligaments are not a pretty thing to be dealing with. So, yeah.
That's a big loss as well, isn't it, Pete?
It's a big loss.
I mean, Newcastle centre-backs, they've had a funny season, but the great joy from Fabian Schär is just the fact that A, he's very handsome, and B, he loves to go on a sortie. He loves to go on a bit of a march upfield, Maguire-esque kind of skills, and he's got a good shot on him as well. I love watching him in full flight. It's Albert-esque at times.
Now you can't.
Yeah, I hope he's all right.
No, I can't.
Hopefully he'll be back for the Euros, but... let's get quickly to Sheffield United up against Chelsea. So it's 2-1 Chelsea final score. Chelsea, though, generously providing all the goals in this one. Mason Mount first, just before half-time, set up by Timo Werner. He's got plenty of assists, even if he doesn't score. And then Antonio Rudiger's, would we call it, playful own goal past
his... It was like a... golf putt, wasn't it? The curl on it, you rarely see that, even on a pass, let alone on a goal. You don't do that, Antonio.
You enjoyed it, right?
I loved it. I'm all for it. I'm all for a slightly comedy own goal, unless it's my own team doing it, which, they do, so you just get on board, I suppose.
4 games, no losses for Tommy Tuchel.
Yeah.
This is the man we like to see in the Premier League. And not only is
he couldn't care less about the Champions League.
He couldn't care less. He's already going for the big prize.
Don't say that.
No, he couldn't care less. He wants to win the title this season. He's the man who's going to challenge Manchester City. I'm glad that's clear. Quick word on Sheffield United, I guess. 3 wins in 6 league games, not bad. Given that in the first 17, they didn't have any. But then last time they were off the bottom spot was November the 7th, which is also when they last lost to Chelsea. 4-1 that time. I guess this is an improvement, really.
I mean, Wrighty's backing them, isn't he? Wrighty's been talking them up quite a lot on Match of the Day, and obviously he's like my football dad, so I have to slightly get on board with that.
He doesn't know who you are.
No, he doesn't. It's annoying. But do you think they've got a chance of turning it around at all? Because they look adrift, but as you say, they've been a lot better lately, and this is a weird season. It only takes, you know, West Brom and Fulham are still struggling, and if they can sort of shuffle that pack around a bit, then they give themselves a bit of a chance, right?
When Newcastle were on the slide, I was like, that looks very close, but then there is a bit of a gulf, isn't there, between bottom three and the fourth place at the bottom. But yeah, they're marching as much as that team can possibly bring a march to their particular sorry situation. But you do sort of get the feeling that because Fulham are just kind of underwhelming, they're not going to climb out of it, and the chance of Sheffield getting over the top as well is just to be like, it doesn't look very clever. They really should have started this about 2 months ago.
Yeah. I mean, getting a win over West Brom as well, obviously, is a huge, huge psychological win. So who knows?
Well, Big Sam was claiming goals that were ruled out for offside as goals. He was saying, "Well, we scored 2 goals."
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I was like, "Well, you didn't, though, did you, Sam? Because they were ruled out for offside."
Doesn't count as a goal.
Well, to be fair, though, we are talking about a man who's never been relegated despite having been relegated with Notts County. So he does do that, doesn't he?
Never been relegated from the Premier League, you cheeky sausage. They go on to play Sheffield United, play West Ham next. Monday the 15th of February. See what the ferryman can make of those lads. Right, guys, before we go, we have some very important news to discuss, and I think it's only right that we spend a full 15 minutes on the following. A Brazilian player has been suspended for 8 games for a naked celebration. After scoring at the 95th minute to take São Paulo Correia into the Rio de Janeiro State's first division, so a big win this, Emerson Carioca took off his top and his shorts to windmill his old chap towards a group of opposition players.
the picture that accompanies this piece of news, brilliance. He's looking over his shoulder and he looks genuinely scared of his own, I don't know, sexuality, his own body. I don't know. He looks absolutely shocked.
Maybe he's just the consequences of his own willicopter are dawning on him as it's spinning around, maybe. I don't know. Eight games seems a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
His apology was, it wasn't premeditated. I couldn't handle the emotion. However, I was wrong. I hoped I would only be in my underwear.
Oh, so it was accidental.
So he didn't have his underwear on. Is he blaming the fact that he forgot to put undergrundies on?
Oh, I see.
Or has he accidentally sort of like put his Chippendale kit on? It's like, oh, go, well, the whole thing comes off.
I thought, Pete, have you ever been in a situation where your underwear doesn't do as you tell it? I mean, like, your underwear is generally one of the few things that one can keep under one's own control in life, I feel.
I mean, underwear is very much the whole job is to keep everything in control. Whether things are going out, things are just staying there, or otherwise, I guess.
So, in that picture as well, did you see? It's not that he's taken everything completely off. He's just sort of pulled his shorts down, sort of like he's about to go for a Hamilton jobby.
Yeah, I mean, if he's pulling his pants down and he's shocked by the fact he's not wearing underwear, I don't think willycopter should be his next part of call. It should be pulling the old pants back up. But in the words of Creed Bratton from The Office, sometimes you just got hang brain.
It started a brawl, didn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought you would want to be near that particularly.
Exactly. If someone's willycoptering in my vicinity, my initial instinct is not to attack that person. It's like, stay well away. Just, nah.
He's got nothing to lose.
I don't want anything to do with that.
That could have ended up being a very sorry tale, couldn't it? If that
really
willycopter got too involved in the...
I mean, eight
You don't
want to
get caught in
games.
The waters, yeah.
I believe it has been challenged, although no word yet as to whether or not the suspension has been limited. I suppose David Luiz didn't get his overturned, so you just can't understand anything these days.
No.
The laws of the game. They've gone mad.
Yeah, game's gone.
If a man can't willycopter his old chap after getting his team promoted, what can he do? I don't really know how to make the link next to our Football Ramble Presents plug that I'm going to tell you all about, but I would like to do that. Head over, guys, if you've got a moment after you finish listening to this, to Football Ramble Presents. There's a very special Ramble Meets on there with our former England goalkeeper, Rachel Brown-Finnis. She's an excellent listen, lots of amazing stories, including how she once trained on the slopes of a volcano in Iceland. It's a lovely old chat with Mark Pugach. Head over to Football Ramble Presents. So don't forget, it's a separate feed to the one where you're getting this podcast, and you can find it at the top of there. I think you'll really enjoy it. Guys, that's it from us. Are you going to willycopter your way out of here, PTD?
Well, I'd have to sort of go backwards. I'm thinking of the configuration of where my genitals are. I would have to willy myself backwards out of the room, possibly into the shower. Not a shower yet, so maybe that's how I...
When you say where my genitals are they not in like the normal place?
They're just above the belly button, Jim. It's it helps with the airflow.
We've ranged into quite a lot of territories here, guys. Thanks a lot for your company this morning, Pete.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Jim. Lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too. Well done, everyone.
On tomorrow's show, it's Marcus, Pete and Andy. Pete can take it from there. See you next time.
Ta-da.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.